Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
Neglected the law, even rejected the law, and has embraced the Spirit, has become focused on the Spirit. So the Shavuot is all about the outward Spirit. And I want to tell you that when you begin to focus on the Spirit alone, apart from the law, you are prone to fall into this ancient heresy called Gnosticism. That's not a good place. What we need is we need the balance of the Spirit and the law. Just like on the other hand, sometimes you get so focused on the law and neglect and even reject the role of the Spirit of God in your life, you become a legalist and all you do is judge people using the law as the battering ram. That's not good either. What God is intending for all of us is to have a balance of the law and the Spirit in our life. And so we've been talking about that, the importance of that. And so I want to continue on this theme of the outward Spirit so that we can be a witness for Christ, so we can bring people into a proper relationship with God and also into a new way of life based on the law of God, a new way of living now that we're His children. So I've entitled this, Loving, Accepting, and Leading People to Jesus the Messiah. That's our job. Our job is to be lovers of God and lovers of people. We need to work on being great lovers. You're not being compassionate people. And then accepting people where they're at. Not judging people, accepting people. Doesn't matter who they are, what they're doing, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're Republican, Democrat, or otherwise, right? It doesn't matter. You love people, accept people, and look for an opportunity to lead them to Jesus the Messiah. That's our job. That's our job, right? So we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to learn how to become a more effective witness for Messiah. So let me read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. We've been working on this passage. We'll continue to work this passage. It's a great passage. So it says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs, which the Father has fixed on his own authority. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. You will be my witnesses. It is not for you to know the times and the epochs. It's not for you to try to figure out dates and times, the beginning of the millennium, the return of the Lord. You know, his coming is near. You know, the end is near. So sick of that. It's been going on since the third century with many disappointments. And how do people just rally around and build churches? Setting dates and times. Isn't that true? Figuring out the epochs. You know, the blood moons and all the books that are written on that, and everyone flocking to that. It's like, you know what, people? It's not for us to know those things. We're going to focus on being a witness. To be a witness for Christ, to love people, to bring healing to the nations. That's our job, not the blood moons. Yeah, it's not quite as exciting. It's a little bit more work, but it's worth it. That's what we're called to do. That's where we find purpose and meaning. So, what is it we're supposed to be doing? Simply this. Being a witness. witness. A witness to what? Or what? To what or what, right? Or why? Why should we be a witness? And then we'll also talk about ways and strategies in witnessing. So let's start with this word witness. What does it mean to be a witness? It means to... Has anyone ever had to serve on a jury? Yeah. So you understand what the proceedings, I'm sure. Yeah, what it means to witness is to give testimony. If you're a witness in a court room setting, you're called to give testimony. And what are you going to give a testimony to? What you know, what you've seen, what you heard. You're a witness. Sometimes, depending on what you're witnessing to, you might have to enter the witness program, right? Where they change your identity so that you don't get killed. I think we need that for most believers around the world. You know, in most places where you witness, give testimony of Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted, even murdered, right? So this idea of witnessing simply means to give a testimony of what you've seen or heard or experienced. And you give testimony, of course, in those particular realms. Let's look at Luke 24, 44 through 45. Jesus walking on the road of Emmaus with his disciples. They don't recognize him. They don't know who he is until he reveals himself. And he has this ongoing discussion with them. And this is what he says. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The scriptures are about him. The Torah, the writings, the prophets are all about the Messiah. They find their fullness in Messiah. You and I are to learn and to read and to study the written word of God because it's all about Jesus. That's who we're going to be giving testimony about. You know, if you were asked, "Yeah, I want you to go to the Torah and I want you to show me where Jesus is prophesied, his coming, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and report back to me." I mean, how many people could do that? Most of us can't. Because the church has said that those set of scriptures are no longer relevant for us. They've dismissed those. You know, we've become New Testament churches. Yeah, can you imagine that? Jesus says, all that's about me is already written in the Torah. So when we spend time in the Word of God, we bear the arsenal of information that we can give testimony to. And people are looking for answers. They'll test you. They want to know. They'll push back against whatever you're saying. They're going to give you some questions that you're not going to be able to answer, and that's okay. You can say, "I'll get back to you." "I don't know. I'll get back to you." Our job, though, is to make sure that we are filled with the information that God's given us concerning His Son so that we can give witness and testimony. Because the world needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. We all need a Savior. Yeah, so that's very important, right? So where to give testimony to Jesus the Messiah? It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. You know, messianic groups, the fundamental mistake we make the testimony about the Torah. We want to talk about Torah. We want to take Torah and take it to people and get them excited about Torah. Do you realize the Torah is not promoting the Torah? The Torah is promoting Jesus the Messiah. That's what it's pointing. It's all about Him. So that the Torah isn't the central feature within Messianic Judaism. Yeshua the Messiah is the central feature within Messianic Judaism. Torah is a secondary issue. The Torah is pointing forward to Messiah. Our job is to give witness about Jesus. That's our job. Luke 24, 46, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, in the Torah, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer, die, and rise again from the dead the third day." In the Torah. Where in the Torah? Where is there? all of us to discover and to use as a testimony to lead other people to Him. Luke 24:47, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is the mission of Israel, by the way, as found in the Torah. This is Israel's mission, to be a light to the Gentiles, to bring about this idea that the Mashiach is going to come, He's going to suffer and die first before He reigns. This is the message that was given to Israel. The word to proclaim in His name, the forgiveness of sin. The greatest human need is the forgiveness of sin. Because every human being is a sinner. Everyone has skeletons in their closets that they're ashamed of, embarrassed by, are trying to hide. They don't want that known to this. The fear is they'll be rejected. Isn't that true? Our message is a message of hope. That God loves the world, sent His Son to die so that we could be forgiven. So that my sins can be forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west. That I'd have a new beginning in Him. The forgiveness of sin, a new beginning. Every human being needs that. Everyone has skeletons in their closet. Everyone's hoping and longing for redemption. We have the message of hope. The forgiveness of sins proclaimed in His name. Our job isn't to tell people, you know what? In God, you are forgiven. Because in God, you are not forgiven. It's through His Son that you're forgiven. It's very specific. Forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, because there's no other name given under heaven by which a person can be saved except the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for Him. Not through Vishnu, not through Buddha, not through anybody, only through Him. Him and Him alone. That's what we give witness to. That's what we testify to. But there's no other way except through the glorious Son of God. When is that going to begin? In Jerusalem. Because salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. That people group that is so persecuted and so hated. It's through them that salvation comes to the nations. The nations need to chill a little bit. You know, are they going to kill the very ones that have released unto them the good news of the gospel? Yeah. So it's going to begin in Jerusalem, and then it's going to go out to the nations. So Luke gives us an example of witnessing. In fact, the book of Acts is written by him. And what is Luke doing? He's witnessing to Theophilus. This is a great example of how to reach people for Christ. So he has this person in his life, Theophilus, that he has influence with. So he says, I'm going to write Theophilus all about Jesus. Here he is. Listen to this. The first account I composed, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the first account I composed, Theophilus, my dear friend, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Yeah, what a beautiful example of witnessing. Writing a letter to a friend about Jesus. And that was quite a letter, Book of Acts. Yeah? I'm not asking you to write a book, but sometimes a little card is sufficient. You know, a well-timed word of blessing can give tremendous hope. It can save a person from killing themselves. I don't know how many testimonies I've heard of people that were ready to end their life, but someone said something very important, significant, that changed their mind. It's so important that we share the love of God and don't take for granted where people are at. You know, the person who just killed himself, he was the chef to have the television show. He'd go in his third season. Shocked everyone, family, friends, you know, Hollywood. Everyone shocked. They had no idea. They saw no signs of that. Who would have guessed, you know? You can look around at your family, your friends, and mess over and over and over. People that are on the verge of just giving up. Never take for granted where people are at. Always laugh. Always bless. Always look for opportunities to pray for. Because you never know. Never know where a person's at. We are the hope of the world. We are the gospel of Messiah. Okay, let me jump down. Why should we witness, of course? This is a lot of reasons why we should witness. Perhaps the most important one, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Our God is a great king, and he's a great judge, and he wouldn't be a great judge if he just let people off the hook. Now, honestly, what he did is he satisfied justice by taking the sin of the world and putting it on his son, and then allowing the wrath to meet his son in the flesh on the cross to make an atonement for all of the sin of the world. So our only escape from a righteous judge who's going to judge sin in the flesh is to accept his son's sacrifice and receive forgiveness. Because if we don't, we will suffer the wrath of God. So, judgment is coming. Every man, every woman will have to pay the debt of torment, suffering, and death for their sins in this life. Some will choose to pay it through Yeshua the Messiah. Others will pay it with their own lives. Jesus, he suffered. He suffered. He was scourged, whipped, mocked, spat upon, and then he was crucified, and then he died. That's what awaits every human being in the end. They will suffer, be tormented, be tortured, and then they will be thrown in the lake of fire and die forever for their sins. That's what they owe. Or they can accept through the love of God a substitutionary atonement that already paid their debt so they can live and be blessed forever. Every man, every woman, every child is going to have to answer to God to whether they accepted his offer of forgiveness through his son. And if they said no, then they'll go through that themselves and perish. That's why we need to give testimony. That's why we need to share this with people all around us. Looking for opportunities, of course, and open doors to share that. We have the hope of humanity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39, it states this. Before I go there, this is not another sermon. Okay? I'm not trying to, like, tickle your ears or entertain you. I want to equip us. Let's do the stuff. Let's be a better witness than we've ever been before. Let's double up and get serious. I just want to say, because the end is near, but that would be ridiculous. We need to do it because people are looking and needing and desiring answers. And their end may be near. Okay. Acts 2, 37 to 39. So Peter preaches to them the gospel. He says, you know what, we're all sinners, you know, and God gave us this beautiful gift through the death of his son so that we could be saved. And by the way, you killed him. You crucified him, both Jews and Gentiles. But it's okay. That was the plan of God. Receive the forgiveness of sin through him. So they heard this message, and they're saying, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent, turn away, acknowledge you're a sinner, you're in trouble, admit you have skeletons in your closet, and turn to me and receive forgiveness. Believe in my son, and I will extend to you forgiveness for your sins. Goes on to say, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the very gift of life. You'll have my presence in you, rising up and giving you new life. This gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise. It's for you and your children and for all of you who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to himself. Acts 2 and verse 40. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverted, rebellious, hateful generation. Because judgment's coming, and you don't want to be found in that group. And in every generation, that perverse generation gets more and more perverse. Today, more than ever, we are more wicked than ever before. That wicked part of our society, every society, is getting profoundly wicked. And those that love God are getting profoundly more in love with God. And that line of demarcation is growing, growing, growing. Our job is to get as many people as we can out of that camp and into this camp. That's our job. And I'm excited. You know, we're learning to do that better and better. I'm super excited about Quinn. We'll have to edit that out of the internet, which is going to go out to the world, right? But Quinn, through fire, man, he reached out, and Quinn's just been searching for God and ready and just going to step into this new relationship and give his life to the Lord, sealed the deal. We're going to dunk him next week, I think, or soon. But, man, I'm so excited about that. And just watching him every week up here dancing, just free, just a new life in him. And prior to that, just a whole different person. Just chopped around by the darkness and the despair that comes with that. I'm so excited. I could tell that story about a number of you. But I'm so excited about what the Lord's doing. And our job, of course, is to go out and just share and testify about Jesus. And I know people get all worked up and they say, well, you know what? I don't have enough training. I need another class. I need to do some, you know, read a couple books on theology, you know, understand the cosmos and all the great issues. No, you don't. You don't. You get testimony about what Jesus has done in you. That's it. That's it. And because it's subjective, no one can argue with it. It is so beautiful. You are in control. What's your favorite ice cream? My favorite ice cream is chocolate. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. So you can't argue with me. It's subjective, right? So when you share what Jesus has done for you by way of the experience of his power in your life, no one can argue with you about that. When you say to people, you know what, I accepted Christ in my life, and he forgave me that guilt. He lifted it. He removed it. He gave me this joy unspeakable full of glory. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. You can't argue with that, right? So our job is really pretty simple. It's pretty easy. Just share what Jesus is doing in your life. Just share with people at the right time. You don't just go on automatic pilot and say the same thing to every person you can in the line at the grocery store. Might get slapped and deservedly so. No, you look for opportunities. You love people. You help people. You reach out to people. You look for the opportunity to just share with them at the appropriate time. You'll know what that is. It's natural. It's relationship. Become self-aware of your relationships with people around you and just step into that. Find the rhythm. Okay. Ways and strategies. Pray for everyone, but especially for the lost whom you have influence with. Pray for people all the time, and especially those that you have influence with. And then look for opportunities to pray with them. So in your relationships with family and friends or whatever, you know, when someone opens up and shares with you some struggle they're going through or disappointment, that's the time you say, you know what, can I pray for you for that? Just ask them. And if they say no, say, great, not a problem. It's not about forcing anything on anyone. You just wait till they're ready. But when they say, yeah, you can pray for me, man, you just put your hand on their shoulder and you just pray like you've never prayed before. Pray the love of God on them, the blessing of God on them, and the hope of God. As the Elder Dennis was saying, you pray faith. You pray the solution. You pray the word of God over them, and it will do its work. The Spirit of God through that will change lives. Man, when I worked in the world for 20 years, I worked at a grocery store, and I had so much fun. I mean, I figured out one day, you know what? My job's secondary. It's a platform to share Jesus. So then, at King Supper's, I'm just checking away all the people I knew for years and years and years. How's it going? Oh, really? Oh, that's too bad. I didn't realize that was going on. Can't pray for you. Right there in the check stand, praying for my customers. You know? I stepped out, you know, a few times I would step out and just go over and pray for them, you know. My employer's like, what are you doing? Get back in the check stand. Yeah, what do you think you're doing? The customer's saying, leave him alone, man. He's praying for me. Yeah. You're mad at the customers because the shopkeepers believe in the customers. That's right. Customers always right. That's the matter. King Supers for y'all. So it's like, I just had a great time doing that. And I'm going to encourage you, make money for your employer. Bless your employer, you know, but also have fun. And look for opportunities to pray. Pray for your employer. Pray for your boss. I remember one time one of my store managers was going through a divorce. And so I went upstairs and he was sharing with me because I had a relationship with him. And so he started sharing with me. And, man, I'll tell you what, I just prayed for him and opened up to him. Spent hours with him for weeks on end just up in the office. That was great because I hated checking. So it was great for him, great for me. It was just, it turned a boring, what would have been a boring job into an adventure, a great expedition. So I want to encourage you with that. So pray for everyone, especially for those that you have influence with, family, friends, enemies. Pray for your enemies. Everyone loves the ones that love them, right? We're different because we even love our enemies. Pray for neighbors, teachers, coaches, employers, employees, clients, patients. I'll tell you. I can't tell you. Because it goes on, and so I got to wait a little bit, and then maybe I'll tell you. Okay. Next week, that's right. So look for opportunities to share about who Jesus is and what he's done for you and what he'll do for them. Let people know what he did for me, he'll do for you. He will forgive you. He will remove the guilt and the shame. Far as the east is from the west, to give you a new beginning. Yeah, breathe hope in people around you. Ask and pray for them in the area of specific need. Believe God on their behalf. Expect and anticipate signs and wonders. We read about this. I talked about it before. Signs and wonders shall follow those who believe. We're supposed to pray and witness. God does the signs and wonders. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot better than you trying to do the sign and wonder and having God pray. Right? We got the easy part of the job. We do. So just pray and believe. And then just let God do the rest. Just step back and let him do the rest. It's exciting when God confirms what you've done and answers those prayers. So enjoy it. Have fun. Know that God is more invested in this than we could ever be. Jesus said, I'm with you even to the end of the age. He's with us. You're never alone when you're doing his kingdom work. He's right there in his spirit with you. Lead them to a saving relationship with Jesus the Messiah. That's the most important thing. That you lead them to a saving relationship. You can't rush that. Don't rush people into that. If they're not ready, don't try to manipulate them into that. Give birth a preemie. And preemies take a lot of work for a long time. A lot of problems that come along with that. So don't do that. God is in the saving business. He's the Savior. You're not. So let that happen by his Spirit. You find the rhythm of the Spirit. Take people as far as they're willing to go, and then when they're done, don't take them any further. You know what I'm saying? Work with the Spirit of God and what he's doing in them. Here's the passage. It's very important. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans 10, 11 through 13. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So when people are ready, you just say, look, if you sense they're ready, you can just say, would you like to invite Christ into your life? Do you want the Messiah in your life? He'll bring his Spirit, and God will come and abide in you and give you a new experience. Forgiveness. Are you ready? And if they say they're ready, you say, great, I'll lead you in the prayer. It's easy. And then you just lead them. It's just simple. You just repentance, confession, and belief. You just say, okay, talk to me. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. God forgive me. God forgive me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit. That's it. It's simple. But you lead people into that, and that will be the catalyst for their born-again experience. If you don't lead them through that particular hoop, they will not get born again. So we'll talk more about that in weeks to come and get better at doing that, because really that's where we want to get them. That, by the way, is the beginning of the journey, not the end of the journey. It's the beginning of the journey, not the end of the journey. Then prayer comes in. Now we can talk about prayer, right? Okay. So, next thing we want to do is invite them to church. Invite them. Sell the dream of a new life and a community that will accept them, love them, and help them throughout all their problems in this life. Help them to understand that their safety and resources in the pack. Learn to run with the herd. Don't run alone. Not going to make it. Okay? Jesus first, the Torah secondary. Acts 15, 19-21. Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. So they were believing Jews. They said, nah, they've got to become Jews first, and they've got to do the Torah, then they can be saved. And the leadership said, no, actually, they're going to get saved just like you did. Faith in Messiah. The Torah can't save anyone. Faith in Messiah. And because it's by faith in Messiah, don't trouble the Gentiles who are turning to God with Torah, 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 and overwhelm them, right? Just write, or just tell them to abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled from blood. Let me just bring that into our day and age now, okay? So, all people need to know is that in becoming a born-again believer, they can now come to church as long as they quit their occult groups, occult practices, and sex outside of the confines of marriage. Those are three areas that you just, that's the bar you got to kind of get straightened out. Get that straightened out, you can come to church. Pretty easy, right? That's the starting place for joining a Messianic community. So what about the Torah? That comes in verse 21. For Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he has read in the synagogues every Sabbath. That doesn't work in the Sunday church, I get it. But we're not a Sunday church. We're a Messianic. And so as people are getting born again and coming here, guess what they're going to hear? Moses. They're going to hear the Torah. They're going to hear about how to live a new life that brings the blessing rather than the curse. Because the beginning of the journey is faith in Messiah. That's where it begins. And then walking in his ways secures those blessings in a way that we experience the fullness thereof. So in closing, I just want to say, you are a witness of Jesus the Messiah. You are a witness. Testify. Testify like never before. You were made to testify. Tell people about Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, about being born again from above so that they can live forever. Let people know that he's the light of the world. He lives in you. The light of the world lives in you. You are the light of the world now. So let your light shine in the darkness so that others may find their way out and into the light and love of God. I used to love Black Sabbath. That was my number one rock and roll band when I was all crazy and didn't know Jesus. And I loved one of the singers, backup singers, who kind of filled in from time to time, Jeff Finholt. He was the lead singer of Black Sabbath. So he gets radically saved, and he tells this big story about he was like mental and should be in a mental health, you know, locked up somewhere in a mental clinic, you know, but Jesus saved him and set him free. And I'm so excited about it. He came and spoke in Denver, so I went to the place to hear him, and he sang, and then he gave his testimony, and then at the end of one of the songs, all the lights go off. It's just pitch black for a few seconds, and they come back on. I knew what was going on. They do that. And then all of a sudden, he's going to be gone, because they're going to usher him off down some side hall, right, get him out of there before the crowds go wild. And so I thought, I know exactly what they're doing. So as soon as the lights came back on, I saw what battle was still kind of open. I knew what hell he went down. I ran out the back, found that hall. I'm running up. There he is with his little entourage of bodyguards, you know. And I walked him. I'm not saying it up to him, and they're all like getting in front of him. They don't know what's going on, you know. So they kind of like, you know, have me stop, you know. And they said, what's going on? I said, thank you, man. I said, partner. I said, I'm like the same experience. Thanks to Jesus, and I should be in a mental institution locked up. I had it backwards. I was so excited, you know. Thanks to Jesus, and I should be in a mental institution locked up. As the harvest, not just as individuals, but as a corporate group, as a local church, our mindset for witnessing will emphasize five steps in reaching out to people. Number one, we're going to exalt Jesus and his kingdom first and foremost. We're going to testify of him. Number three, we're going to learn to accept, love, and lead people to him. Number four, we're going to invite and connect them to the church. Number five, then we're going to encourage them to embrace the Torah at their own speed and comfort level. And let the Holy Spirit raise them up as they hear the Torah week in and week out. So in closing, I'm going to leave you with this video to encourage you to testify, to let your light shine in the darkness. These are the new Scottish hymns. I'm a Mexican and an Irishman, all in one. So sometimes I do the Spanish thing, sometimes I do the Scott-Irish. This is Scott-Irish. I hope you enjoy it. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha. Ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. Ve'asem lecha. Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov. Shabbat.